This morning I'll be preaching from Jonah 2, verses 8 through 10. As I did last week, I'll read the entirety of the chapter. Starting with verse 1, Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. The musician Bruce Springsteen has a fairly recent album out. It contains a song titled Swallowed Up in the Belly of the Whale. He's using the analogy of Jonah to describe something. The whole of that album is something of agonizing over the decline of our country. It's a familiar theme for Springsteen. But he uses that narrative of Jonah as an allegory for the despair that he thinks that our country is in. Here are some of the lyrics that he gives. We trusted our skills and our good selves, put our faith that with God the righteous in this world prevail. But we've been swallowed up. We've been swallowed up. Disappeared from this world. We've been swallowed up. It's a very plaintive song, and that refrain, we've been swallowed up, runs through all of the song. It communicates the sense of despair that he has over the shape of our country. Springsteen captures some of the emotion that Jonah surely felt in his despair. But he misses something very important in the account of Jonah. He misses the fact that Jonah experienced also God's grace and mercy. And from the belly of the whale, Jonah expresses hope in that grace and mercy of God. It's not just despair that we hear from Jonah. Jonah expresses his condition very well. Look at those earlier verses. He says, I've gone down to the roots of the mountains. The earth and its bars closed behind me forever. He knew the consequences of his sin. He knew that because of his sin that that he was barred from God's presence. There is a sense of despair that comes from that recognition. But then God did deliver Jonah. He brought him to repentance, and he gave him grace instead of wrath. Jonah sorely needed this, didn't he? So do we. We sorely need grace. We sorely need to know that God knows our sin, but forgives it in Jesus Christ. We need to know that we have not been cast off by God so that we're just swallowed up, disappeared from this world, no longer of any use to God or to any other man. Instead, by grace, God communicates something to Jonah, that he is still loved, that he's forgiven, and in fact that he's still useful to God. You see, grace reshapes Jonah. Jonah thought that he must be cast off from God, but instead the Lord picks him up and retools him, we might say today, so that he would go and minister to Nineveh. I like the way Sinclair Ferguson observes this. He says that Jonah needed to experience God's grace himself before he could be a minister of that grace to the people of Nineveh. When he did experience that grace, Jonah wasn't free from error, and none of us will be in this life. But he definitely went about his work with a renewed heart. From this passage, it's that theme that I want to meditate on this morning. That theme of being reshaped by grace. The main idea is printed on the back of your bulletin. It is this: to be able to speak of God's grace to others, you need to experience God's grace toward yourself. Therefore, seek God's grace with your whole heart. Seek God's grace with your whole heart. There are three aspects of Jonah's renewal that came from his experience of God's grace that will form the outline for my sermon. Grace produces a new sense of compassion. Secondly, grace produces a new sense of consecration. And thirdly, grace produces a new sense of God Himself. We'll start with that sense of compassion that came to Jonah because of experiencing God's grace. Think of what Jonah was like before this great disaster and the grace of God that he experienced. He refused to take the gospel to Nineveh. He refused. Why? Because he didn't want God to show grace to the Ninevites. That's what he says in chapter 4. I knew you to be a God of mercy. I knew this was going to happen. And he didn't want that to take place. Neither did he show compassion on the sailors on the ship. Think of how desperate they were as they feared for their lives and feared for their souls. And Jonah turns a blind eye to that, a cold heart to those who were terrified. You can even imagine him watching them as they cry out to their false gods. You can imagine him thinking smugly in his heart, ha, serves them right. They're getting what they deserve. Their gods can't hear them. But then Jonah experienced grace himself. Even though he ran in the opposite direction, God overruled. We've looked at that overruling of God. Think of how God went to great lengths to take the gospel to Nineveh and to take the gospel to Jonah as well. God had prepared and trained Jonah. He called him as a prophet. He gave them a specific charge to go to Nineveh. But Jonah ran in the opposite direction. God wasn't thwarted yet. God pursued him, so to speak. He hurled a great storm onto the sea to arrest Jonah. He even prompted and prodded Jonah through the questions the sailors asked. God even gave some fruit to the little witnessing that Jonah did. The sailors listened to him. They came to recognize and apparently to worship God. Then, even in the depths of the sea, as the waves and death embraced Jonah, God still pursued him. He appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And there Jonah came to recognize God's amazing grace to him. Amazing grace displayed to him from the belly of the whale. He expressed that hope of forgiveness in the first portion of his prayer. We looked at that a little bit last week. He cries out to God. He thanks him for saving him from the pit of destruction, from hell itself. He looks again and he prays to the Lord in his holy temple. And then in verse 8, Jonah says this: "Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy." Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. You could read this as Jonah still showing disdain for the sailors. But I rather agree with the commentators that read this as Jonah coming to recognize himself in the same boat as the sailors, both literally and figuratively. He was in the same boat as the sailors. In other words, no longer could Jonah sit aloof in self-righteousness and point his finger over at those sailors and say, "Look at how foolish they are. They're praying to gods who cannot hear, cannot speak, cannot do anything about it." I'm doing the same thing. Because I've refashioned God after what I want him to do, after what I think he ought to be like. Jonah came to recognize that, yes, not only did the sailors turn their backs on the mercy of God, isn't that a striking way of describing it here, that they forsake their own mercy? In other words, this display of mercy from God is offered freely, but they willingly turn away from that. Not only could Jonah say, yes, the sailors did that, but so have I. I've run from God. I have forsaken my own mercy. And yet, God has been merciful still to me. So Jonah came to recognize not only that he had done as the sailors had done, not only that he deserved God's wrath, but that he had received mercy. This was a life-changing experience for Jonah. That's an understatement, isn't it? Which one of us would doubt if we'd been swallowed by a whale for 3 days and survived, not go from that and say, "I've gone through a life-changing experience"? But remember, the fish is not the main character of the story. And the amazing thing isn't that Jonah was swallowed and survived. The miracle is the miracle of God's grace to Jonah. That is the life-changing experience that Jonah went through, and that he comes to recognize that God had shown him mercy. Sinclair Ferguson again describes it well. Jonah, who had formerly despised the ungodly heart, had now seen God's judgment on his own ungodly heart and learned compassion. Now that he too felt despair and known what it was to be far from God, the Ninevites must have appeared to him in a new light. They were no longer a heathen enemy, but immortal men under God's judgment and in need of hearing his warning voice. Jonah learned this. I pray that you would learn it as well, that the experience of God's grace would teach you a new perspective on compassion. Think of the mercy and compassion that God has shown you in Jesus Christ. Think of the great lengths that he has gone to rescue you from sin and Satan and death. God the Father sent his only begotten Son, knowing that he would pour out his wrath on the Son. And the Son knowingly took up that charge. He knew exactly why he was born. He knew exactly where his path was leading him. It was leading him to the cross. And yet he willingly set his face towards Jerusalem, towards the cross, towards suffering the wrath of the Father for you and for me. Think of what the Father and the Son have done to send the Spirit to you. The Spirit comes and lays hold of a soul that is dead and makes it alive. He has brought you to life. He's equipped you to serve Him. God went to great lengths to save you as a sinner. And you, like Jonah, have experienced this great love and the incredible miracle of the new birth. Like Jonah, I pray that you come to realize more and more that your sin is far worse than you ever imagined, but even more, that God has loved you far more than you could ever hope. Then may God work in you this same spirit of compassion. We believe that he worked in Jonah, a compassion on others. It is very tempting to think, to look at others, they don't deserve the gospel. They follow worthless idols. They forsake their own mercy. They get what they deserve. Like Jonah, I pray that you remember that without Christ, you're in the same boat. But Christ has not dealt with you without compassion. May God work in you a spirit of compassion on others so that you tell them, yes, we have been swallowed up. I had been swallowed up, but I was delivered by Jesus. May God produce in you a new sense of compassion because he has been gracious to you. Secondly, God's grace produces a new sense of consecration. Consecration means a dedication to serve. Having been humbled by God's grace and mercy, Jonah goes on to say, "But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed." He gives here a wonderful example of a response to God's grace. If you take a step back and look at Jonah's life, you'll see that this response is very sweet. This part of the story is just one part of Jonah's life. We believe that Jonah had responded earlier, at an earlier date, to God's call, at least to become a prophet of God. We see that in other parts of Scriptures. He enjoyed a sweet fellowship with the Lord through prayer and through communion with Him. He had a role in communicating to the people of God. This is what the Lord says. But then came this life-changing call and this grand disaster of his trying to run from God. God, through this process, mercifully stripped away all of Jonah's sense of self-righteousness so that he came to recognize that he too depended on God's mercy. And in response then, Jonah's heart just seems to swell with love and with devotion. He responds to this demonstration of God's grace by worshiping Him. He says, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. He's speaking of going to God and worshiping Him. He also responds in consecration. I will pay what I have vowed. Jonah here seems to remember some previous promise that he had made to God. When he experienced God's grace, he responds by renewing that covenant, by renewing that promise that he had made to the Lord. Maybe it was that promise earlier in his life when he had said that he would devote himself to God's servant as a prophet. Maybe it was the promises of new belief, the promise to love the Lord and to follow after Him. Maybe it encompassed all of that. It could be that it was just a response to all that God has done, in which He renews His vows. Either way, Jonah responded with a new or a renewed sense of consecration, as expressed especially in his worship to the Lord. And here I'd have you think of how you have made vows to the Lord. You've done so privately as you've expressed your devotion and your conversion to trust in the Lord. You've also done so publicly. You've done so in your covenant of communicant membership. You've responded to God's grace by saying that you love the Lord and that you'll follow after Him. You've promised this not in your own strength, but in humble reliance upon His grace, as you desire to give your account with joy at the last great day. That's the close of our covenant of communicant membership. You might remember last week, Ben and Mariah responding publicly to that covenant. Those are your vows as well. You too have covenanted to follow the Lord, to love Him, to forsake sin, to worship Him. Not in your strength, but in the hope of His grace. As you have experienced grace, I pray that you would respond with renewed consecration, with renewed dedication to serve the Lord. God may lead you to do that in very pointed and special private ways as you covenant with the Lord. Those are very special times as you go through trials in your life. There may be ways in which God's Spirit stirs you up to say, Lord, you have done such great things for me. And He may lead you to covenant with Him privately, to make vows to Him as specific ways that you desire to serve Him. I also, though, want you to see how Jesus meets with you weekly and showers you with grace in an ordinary fashion. Our weekly worship is sometimes described as covenant renewal. In worship, we come to the Lord and we renew our promise to belong to Him. We come to Him and confess our sins. We express our worship to Him. And each week, God also proclaims His mercy, His grace in Jesus Christ. He affirms His love for you as His people in His word and in His sacrament. He assures you that He has covered your sins. In response, then, to the grace of God, may you see that each week in worship that you are renewing consecration to serve the Lord. And as you appreciate and as you recognize that grace of the Lord, it will surely lead you to be renewed in worship, to be renewed in consecration. You may be able to reflect and to recognize that you have been swallowed up, but once more recognize that you've been set free by God. He has shown you His grace, and you are useful to Him. Thirdly, grace produces a new sense of God. grace produces a new sense of God. Jonah closes his prayer by declaring, "Salvation is of the Lord." You might say, certainly Jonah knew this beforehand. In fact, any prophet worth his salt would have said, "Salvation is of the Lord." But think about it in the context of what Jonah has gone through. Think about how he experienced running from God's presence. He probably thought that was something he would never do. And yet he did wander from God. He ran from his presence and came to experience the Lord's mercy and grace towards him in a very personal way. It wasn't for Jonah just some head knowledge, if it ever was. You know what I mean by head knowledge? By that I mean the statement of facts, the statement of an intellectual assertion of what's true. You could know all the different facts of the Bible. You could have the books of the Bible memorized. You could tell me who the different kings and queens of the Old Testament were. You could know all of these different facts. You even know that Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross, but still not trust in Him. It could be all up here and not down here in your hearts. That's what I mean by head knowledge. Now, we don't know where in Jonah's life that he was converted, but still there can be an aspect of the Christian walk that puts things only in an intellectual fashion in your life and never lets them sink down into an expression of your day-to-day life that comes from faith. For Jonah, the experience of God's grace drew him close so that he had a deeper sense of God and a deeper sense of His purpose for him. Jonah could have declared God is a saving God beforehand, but then as he rebelled and ran from God, Jonah could say God is a saving God because He saved me. He delivered me from my sin. He delivered me from my rebellion. Think of how that reshapes Jonah. Remember, he's not perfect now. We're going to go on and we're going to see that Jonah still has not only misconceptions, but still lots of baggage that he carries with him as he goes to minister in Nineveh. But he does go to minister in Nineveh. It's as if he could say, if God would save me, then maybe He would save the Ninevites as well. Maybe He would show mercy to these enemies. Wow. I was thinking of God all wrong, wasn't I? It's that sense of God that this experience reshapes in Jonah. Jonah's retooled in the compassion that he would show towards the unbeliever. He's reshaped in the consecration that he has to serve the Lord. But he's also reshaped in his fundamental concept of who God is. The God that he was thinking of as being a savior to the Jews needed to be blown away, because God is so much bigger than that. Jonah should have known this. It's all throughout the Old Testament scriptures. God says that through Isaiah that it's too small a thing that my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, would be just a Savior to the Jews. Instead, I'll set my Savior as a light to the nations. It's all throughout the scriptures. Jonah needed to come to realize that. And the experience of God's grace expanded his sense of who God was and is. Peter experienced something similar in the New Testament. I read from John 21, where the apostle records the tender encounter that Peter had with Jesus. After the resurrection, Jesus came to Peter. And it's this same Peter who had abandoned Jesus in his hour of need. It's the same Peter who said on three different occasions, "No, I don't know Jesus." It's the same Peter that Jesus had warned, "This is going to happen to you. Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat." And it's this same Peter that Jesus preserved and prayed for. Jesus comes to Peter and says to him three times, "Simon, son of Jonah." Isn't that interesting? "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Jesus gently but firmly confronted Peter. He confronted him after his failure. Maybe Peter was a little bit like Bruce Springsteen at this point. Maybe he was thinking that we've trusted in God, that those who do right will do well. But we've been swallowed up. Maybe Peter is thinking that, like Jonah, I've lost it all. I'm no longer useful to God. But Jesus comes to Peter, and in this gentle, loving confrontation of grace, Peter's sense of God is just blown away. Jesus says to Peter, "Feed my sheep." And so saying, Jesus communicates to Peter, "Yes, not only did I preserve you by my love and grace, not only do I love you, but I still have work for you to do. Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs." And Peter goes on to serve Jesus as an apostle, a shepherd of the flock of Jesus Christ. Grace produces this new sense of God for Jonah, for Peter, and I believe for you too. We all tend to try to shape God after what we want Him to look like. We try to shape Him in the fashion of what we want God to do for us. We're prone to wander. Those experiences of idolatry, because that's what it is, those experiences of idolatry tend towards despair. They tend towards the agony of crying out, "We've been swallowed up. We've been swallowed up. We've been swallowed up." But by God's grace, instead, when you're swallowed up, God communicates to you something completely different. He communicates His love to you. He communicates forgiveness. He communicates the sense that you are loved and still useful to Him. His grace saves you and reshapes you so that you may serve Him. I pray that in those instances, that instead of being overcome by despair, that your heart would thrill at the mercy of God that forgives sins. I pray that you would recognize the grace that He has given to you. And then, like Jonah, may God's grace and presence lead you to worship Him, lead you to a compassion towards those around you, to a new sense of consecration, and to a deeper fellowship with God. We have been swallowed up, but then delivered by Jesus and reshaped by God's grace. Please bow with me in prayer. O Lord God, thank You that in mercy You have come to us and saved us. You have delivered us from the power of death. Instead of expecting wrath, O Lord, we experience grace and love. God, our hearts do race with the thrill of experiencing that mercy. Lord, as we come to recognize the depth of that hope that we have in Jesus Christ, may it be that the hope of salvation would then overflow in our hearts towards others. Lord, if You have been merciful towards us, surely You will be merciful towards others. May we have compassion on those that are walking in darkness, and so speak to them of the light of Jesus Christ. God, in the midst of this service, we renew our covenant with You. We renew our consecration to serve You, to love You. We renew our vow to seek to win others to You. And Lord, having experienced Your grace, may this reshaping send us out into the world as Your lights and representatives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please turn to Psalm 116. We're going to sing the first selection before the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It reflects on our deliverance. It speaks of being bound up by sin and death, but then delivered by Jesus Christ. And then the second half says, how shall we respond? What shall I offer to the Lord? And it speaks of our vows, our worship, our renewed consecration to the Lord. We'll sing Psalm 116, Selection A. Please stand to worship Him.